Today we're going to again be in the Old Testament as we look at a great passage of Scripture from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 14 for a message, Can I Have Your Attention, Please? Certainly an appropriate title when you're speaking to a group of people, right? Can I have your attention, please? And this message has been on my heart for some time, and I want to begin with this question of what does it take for someone to get your attention? What does it take for someone to get your attention? Because the older I get, the more frustrated my wife is becoming because it's becoming harder and harder for her to get my attention. And we live in a world where we are so easily distracted. We have distracted drivers now, and we have laws that are being put in place so that we're less distracted and more focused on our driving. We often are multitasking, doing multiple things at the same time. And if one of those things is listening, well, it usually doesn't go well. Growing up, whenever you heard over a loudspeaker, Can I have your attention, please? You usually got quiet and listened. What is it that I need to be hearing? Not so much anymore. With more and more distractions and more white noise around us, and people trying to do too many things at once, giving undivided attention seems like a lost art. Well, today we're going to be in the Old Testament for a great story from Exodus chapter 3. It is a story of God getting the attention of his servant Moses and doing it in a rather unique way, a rather profound way. God has a task for Moses, a great task. And he uses this burning bush to grab Moses' attention and then reveals his part in this great story. So we're going to read from Exodus chapter 3, again a familiar text, the first 14 verses for a message entitled, Can I Have Your Attention, Please? Exodus chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, we read these words. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Suppose, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Moses, of course, was a Hebrew. He was an Israelite, but he was raised as an Egyptian prince and learned extensively before he chose to identify with his people. And at age 40, after killing an Egyptian, Moses fled to the land of Midian, where he lived as a shepherd. And he lived in Midian for 40 years as a shepherd before God called him from the burning bush. He fled to Midian sort of as a young man. And now after 40 years of tending sheep, he's 80 years old. And everything is about to change for him. And as he's tending the sheep out there, he notices this bush that's burning before him. But he knows that it's not being consumed by the fire. It just keeps burning. And it attracts his attention. And he notices this is quite strange. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of a fire in the bush. Moses noted again that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. Here is the point we want to make today. The first point today is that God uniquely gets Moses' attention. God, in a rather unique way, gets Moses' attention. He gains Moses' attention. This fire was to keep on burning, so there was no way that Moses can dismiss it. He has to investigate. God had sort of drawn him in, and he goes to investigate. And verse 3 says, Moses says to himself, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. You see, God first got his attention with the burning bush, and then he drew him in for conversation. And as soon as Moses investigates the burning bush, God begins to speak. And what does God say first? Moses. Moses. God grabbed his attention through the burning bush, but he had the fullness of Moses' attention when he spoke his name, not once, but twice. Can I have your attention, please? God is saying to him. And at this point, God has indeed gotten Moses' attention. First by the burning bush, second by calling his name. And Moses' response was rather telling. Here I am. In other words, you have my attention. I am listening. A burning bush in a hot wilderness is an unusual sight. But what was extraordinary that day is this burning bush was not being consumed. It was burning, but it was not burning up. And so here is Moses understanding that this is rather unique, that this is God getting his attention, and when his name is heard, not once but twice, he says to God, here I am. I am prepared to listen. I am prepared to hear what you have to say. You have my attention. You know, friends, I can look back over my life and I know I can't recall ever having a burning bush experience. I can't. I can't remember having a blinding light like Paul had on the Damascus Road. Never had an experience like that. And I think God uniquely gains our attention. So no burning bush for me, no blinding light for me, but that doesn't mean that God hasn't worked in my life to try to get my attention. I remember circumstances aligning to help me see that God was up to something. And it's happened over and over again over the last 50 years. Why is it, friends, that I can remember a conversation when I was 12 that I had with a Sunday school teacher who said to me, no, Kevin, you're not going to be an accountant, you're going to be a pastor. Why does that conversation still resonate with me nearly 50 years later? Or over 3 years ago when I interviewed to become your pastor and preached here and the vote was taken. Does anybody remember what the vote was? It was pretty convincing, wasn't it? 161 to 0. That was a burning bush for me, right? That was a blinding light for me. That was the Lord saying, do I have your attention? Your ministry is about to change and I'm calling you to come be a part of the great church at Mechanic Grove. An attention-grabbing conversation from when I was 12 led to that moment 3.5 years ago, where both the church and Ruth and I agreed that this was the Lord's leading. And like Moses, you know what I said? Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'll come. If you want me to be here, I'll come. I don't know how it's going to happen or what it's going to look like, but here I am, and I'll come. What happens next in this story is really quite amazing. God tells Moses to not come any closer, to take off his sandals, that he's standing on holy ground. And then in verse 6, what does God do? He makes himself known. He identifies himself. And here is the point. God makes his identity clear. He says to Moses, I am the God of your father. I'm God your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So there is no question in Moses' mind that this is indeed God speaking to him. Because God makes his identity very clear. The God, your father, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, Moses realizes that this is God, and what does he do? He hides his face. He hides his face. He doesn't want to gaze upon God. There's no mistaking for Moses who is speaking to him. This is his God moment, and God has his undivided attention. Notice he's not concerned too much about the sheep in this moment. No mention of them. He is focused on what is being said, and with certainty he knows that God is speaking to him. This was a God moment, and Moses knew it. Have you ever had a God moment? You ever had a God moment? Now keep in mind, I'm convinced that God is always at work in our lives. He's always at work in our lives. But aren't there those moments where he seems to break through? Where there's an insight or a revelation or a conversation that sparks something within you? Aren't there times when he seems to be trying to break through and reveal something to us? To get our attention as we might walk in obedience to his will. Might be an answered prayer, a sudden revelation, or a chance encounter. In truth, every second of a believer's life is a God moment, because we know that what? In all things, God works for the good for those who love him and be called according to his purpose. God's plan for our good is ceaselessly in operation. He's always present. He's always moving. But let's be honest, there are those moments where there seems to be a breakthrough, where there seems to be something a little bit different, when God is trying to get our attention. And I believe that is a God moment, just like he had with Moses. There's a third point we need to make today. Verses 8 to 10, God shares with Moses his purpose. He wants to rescue his people from bondage in Egypt and send them to the promised land. And he says to Moses, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one who's going to bring my people out of Egypt. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. And I always picture Moses taking a big gulp when this is mentioned to him. You're asking me to do what? What am I supposed to do? Remember, he's been doing what for the last 40 years? Tending sheep. That's what he's been doing for 40 years. This seems like a pretty big leap from tending sheep to going to Pharaoh and declare that God's people be freed. And remember, he's 80 years old. He's 80 years old. The point is this. God's purpose for Moses was monumental. This was a huge ask. This was a big time request. This is a monumental moment. God is saying, I have come down for a reason. I have seen, I know, I have heard. I know what my people have been going through, and I'm going to make a difference here. I'm going to bring them to freedom, and I'm coming down, and I need you to help me to do this, to deliver them, to rescue them, to save God's people from their oppression. God essentially says to Moses, I have a plan. I have a plan for my people, and I want you to be a part of it. You know, as I look at this story, I'm reminded of what's coming up here in a few weeks, which is the season of Advent. Christmas is coming. Here is God coming down to rescue his people who are in bondage. And isn't that what Jesus did? He came down from heaven to rescue you and I who are in bondage to sin. Isn't it amazing that God has this tremendous capacity to come down and to end the suffering and oppression of his people? We see that in this story. We see that in the Christmas story as well. The fact that God does come down. Friends, can we agree on this? This was a pretty big ask for God. It's a big time ask. Moses grew up in the Egyptian courts. He was trained to be a leader. He had the skills and ability to be a great man in politics of Egypt, but he had a burden for his people. And he wanted to be a blessing to help his people Israel. But here he is on the backside of the desert, as far away from his people and their struggles in Egypt as he could be. And for 40 years, he's had nothing to do with them, no interaction with them. He's farthest from his life's purpose. He was living the best life he knew, but now God's saying, we got something more to do. It would seem that that last 40 years were one giant waste of time for Moses, but not in the plan of God. Because God never ceases to work out his will in people, no matter where they find themselves. We must follow the light that we have and wait on God to provide further light. And I believe the burning bush experience for Moses was God's revealing his plan, not just for the people of Israel, not just for the Hebrew people, but also for Moses. He's saying to Moses, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. I have something more for you, and it's a part of this great redemptive plan of God. Friends, it's our duty to follow God's leadership as we discern it, and it's God's responsibility and good pleasure to give us instructions for the journey. God had indeed a special calling for Moses. For 430 years, the Israelites had been slaves to the land of Egypt. 430 years, think about that. But God was preparing Moses for this monumental task of leading God's people out of Egypt. Now you would think that such an ass like that, Moses would say, hey, this is great. I've been thinking the same thing. Let's get going. No such chance, no. Moses, he's a little bit reluctant to say the least. Upon hearing the big ass, Moses begins questioning, begins backpedaling, begins doubting. He says to God in verse 11, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And how does God respond? He says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And that, seemingly that's not quite enough for Moses to say, okay, God, let's go. He has a few more excuses to make, and he asks, you know, who should I tell the Israelites that sent me to them? And God gives that great answer, I am who I am. Tell them I am, has sent me to them. Here is the final point we want to make today, and that is, Moses is promised God's presence and God's power. Moses is promised God's presence and God's power. The great I am will be with you, Moses. My power will be available to you. What follows in the next 25 verses is Moses making excuse after excuse of why he is not the one for this great task. And God gave him signs of God's power. Remember those signs? Turning his staff into a snake, making his hand leprous and then clean again. But Moses kept backpedaling to the point where he says to God, you know, can you just please send someone else to do this? And at that point where he finally says, can you just send someone else? And it's that point that God finally gets mad. He gets angry. But he doesn't give up on Moses. He says, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have your brother Aaron to help you. And together, you guys will lead this great task. And finally, Moses gets on board. The promise of God's presence and power were not enough for Moses to say, yes, Lord, let's do it. But the promise of his brother Aaron proved to be enough for Moses. Aren't you glad that when God calls us to something, he offers both his presence and his power? God revealed unto Moses his plan for Moses' life. It was greater than Moses could have ever dreamed. Moses was overwhelmed. He questioned in verse 11, who am I that I should go? He had a legitimate concern about his ability. And God recognized that he was lacking in self-confidence. And so he brought alongside Aaron, his brother, someone he knew, someone he could trust to help him in this great task. Many times we find ourselves in the same situation. We know the word of God and the promises of God, but many times we need to be reminded. Sometimes it seems easier to see our faults rather than the power of God. We operate within our own power rather than his power. The burning bush experience restores our faith to its proper place, and God gives us his word to answer our questions and our doubts concerning his will for our lives. Let me suggest in a closing here three common ways that God is trying to get our attention. Three common ways that God is trying to get our attention. And the first is through His Word. Through His Word. God continues to speak through the Word. The Word is active and living. It's dynamic. And the more we engage in God's Word, the more we study and appreciate and read God's Word, the more of our attention God will have. Throughout my life, I have been amazed at the ways God speaks through His Word. But there's a second way that God commonly gets our attention, and that is through others. It is through others. Sometimes God gives a word of knowledge to someone that's close to you, that speaks to you. That word from my Sunday school teacher 46 years ago, I think, was a word of knowledge. When she said, no, you're not going to be an accountant. You're going to be a pastor. When someone says something to you that gets stuck in your head, that may well be God trying to get your attention. When God brings people into your life, sometimes just for a season, that well may be God's way of getting your attention. And finally, through circumstances. Circumstances is yet another way God uses to get our attention. And He might be sending a message to you when you consider the circumstances you're going through. You find yourselves in a trying time or a troubling time, and you think, why am I going through this, Lord? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to tell me? You have my attention. You may have something that happens in your life and you think it's a coincidence. You may say, well, it seems like a sign from God. All those things working together can be evidence that God is trying to get your attention. God might be speaking to you through the situation you are in and the season of life you find yourself in today. Remember, Moses was 80. He was 80 years old when God said, Moses, I got a little task for you. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 says, My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight. Does the Lord have your attention? Are you listening well? Are you living obedient to what He has called you to? The great I Am is with you just as He was with Moses. The same power and presence that worked in Moses' life works in your life as well. Let us continue to listen for the voice of God and be obedient to what He calls us to individually, as a family, and certainly as the church family, the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brother. Can I have your attention, please? God asks. And we need to respond like Moses. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Because I believe your power and your presence will go with me and be with me. To the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. Love story from Exodus chapter 3, the calling of Moses to this great task. Father, we recognize the unique ways You attempt to gain our attention, because how quickly we can be unfocused and distracted. And so, Father, help us to be attentive to the voice of the Lord. To know that the power and the presence of the Lord works in our lives as it did in Moses' life. And to be able to say, here I am, Lord. I'll do what You want me to do. And I'll go where You want me to go. Thank You, Father, for Your word today. Indeed, You have our attention this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.